Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Neil Coplin, Executive VP and Lehigh Valley and Delaware Region President of People's Security Bank and Trust, and Joshua Dodd, Senior VP, Univest Bank and Trust Company. Gentlemen, welcome. This evening, we are going to review the results of the Cameron Afshar Greater Chamber of Commerce Survey of Local Businesses conducted in July. Just a little background here. This survey has been going on since 1997. Yes, we've been doing it for a pretty long time. According to the July survey, business sentiment and the overall confidence in the local economy dropped for the second quarter in a row and gave back almost all of its January gains and is now statistically back where it was last October. The drop was across the board, with the exception of hiring in the last 6 months, which did rise. However, all categories except hiring plans for the future are above July of 2016. So while clearly the post-election enthusiasm is gone, there are no doom and glooms around, at least not yet. Actual payroll employment in the Valley has declined by about 1,500 jobs between July of 2016 and July 2017. And this is going in the opposite direction of the national average, which added 2.2 million jobs in the last 12 months. By that account, we should have been up by 5,400 jobs instead of losing 1,500. This is a pretty sizable and unexpected decline. What do you guys think, Josh?
Well, Cameron, first, thanks for having me here today, and congratulations on 20 years. So that's two decades of data that you have. So going forward, that'll be very useful for you. I would say what's going on in the general economy is that, you know, there was a lot of optimism post-election, and that optimism was, I think, centered around a potential tax cut, infrastructure spending, and then also less regulation, and that really fueled the stock market. I think if anything that 2017 has taught us so far is that it's really just business as usual in Washington. Both sides can't seem to get anything done, and as a result, I think you probably see that optimism waning.
Yeah.
And good evening to both of you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Thank you.
I agree with Josh's sentiments relative to enthusiasm coming out of the marketplace. I also see, you know, there's a lot of confusion, in the numbers. And I think over the past couple of months, people are feeling like they want to take a little bit of pause on things to see what the future holds a little bit. Businesses need certainty at the end of the day. And when that becomes difficult to ascertain, it becomes very problematic for them to try to determine what additional investments they're willing to make. There was a lot of positive thought right after the election, and people really wanted to get out there and make the investments necessary. Relating specific to the Lehigh Valley, I don't think, in that sense, there has been so much growth and activity and construction activity around that I think at times, the marketplace wants to take a pause to see what the future opportunities are. And I think that's what we see going on today.
And we are seeing employment in Lehigh Valley drop just basically counter-cyclical right now. And as nationwide, we are seeing that employment going up, and our survey shows that businesses are laying off less than what they did back in 2005 or 2006 when we had very tight labor market. And initial unemployment claims is in the area that we usually call a tight labor market. And despite of that, the count of the number of payroll jobs, businesses hiring employees, is dropping. Josh, what do you see in that?
I don't know what to make of that, Cameron. Certainly, it is in opposite movement of the national trends, and anecdotally, even in our firm and my customers, I've seen a lot of people moving for other jobs more than I've seen in prior years, particularly in construction. We do a fair amount of construction lending and have a staff of about 5 to 7 people two of those people have gone back to construction, the folks that monitor our construction loans and do the inspections, and both have chosen to go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And then I see it again, you know, contacts, CFOs of companies, they're moving for different positions, and a lot of new faces. So reshuffling. I don't know how to explain how Lehigh Valley is down 1,500 jobs. I do know that, you know, Pennsylvania does lose, you know, people do move out of state. That's pretty prevalent. I think most of them go to Florida, and it's mostly retirement-based. I'm surprised to hear that, so I don't know what to make of
it. In your firm, as you have two people have left your firm to move to construction, have you replaced those jobs with new people?
One internally moved to administrative position. We've decided to have an administrative person and fewer people in the field, but
So you haven't added to that?
It's fairly new. That explains some of that, probably.
Yeah. A lot of things to me is attributed to the tight labor market. Also, you know, what has not changed in the business community by and large is tight margins. And where you have some industries, you can say the home construction industry, where some people during the heyday of the early 2000s were employing 50, 60 people. Today, they're employing 15 people or less. And they're making up the difference by adding subcontractors versus permanent employees. And again, across the board, if you look at other sectors, the way to continually do more with less is pretty much a mainstay, you know, in the hiring. So the contraction of the jobs is surprising. There is, you know, obviously in statistics, a tight labor market. You know, the food services is difficult finding people, you know, qualified people for jobs like that. And that's an ongoing challenge in getting qualified individuals also. Josh mentioned about, you know, within the banking realm, you know, banking has been another world by and large with all the mergers that have contracted. And it's not easy to find experienced people, you know, in that realm at the end of the day. So these are the different things that I think that by and large come into here, you know, in dealing with some of these numbers that we're seeing going in a lot of different directions.
Chief, one of the fastest sectors that we expected to really move now over the last few years actually is the construction, as mortgage rates are so very, very low, historical low. But then during 2004 and 2005, we had something like 400 building permits issued per month. You know how many were issued last month?
This is new construction for residential now. Okay.
Yeah, no, I
25.
Yeah, it's amazing.
During the worst of the recession, we had dropped to 100. Now we are a quarter of that. That also is something that is going sort of counter-cyclical, if you like. And of course, we have a older, our population is a little older than the national average. We have 18% of our population, 65 plus. National average is about 15. So in that sense, we are also looking at that. Now, let's look at the at which size companies reduced or increased their employment last 6 months. Basically, the larger companies, those with more than 100 employees, were moving faster, as about 55% of them increased their employment. They had net increases, while 14% of them had net layoffs. Another sector of interest is those between 11 and 20 employees. They also are showing faster growth. I've always seen the smaller companies, not very small, because the very small companies are not financially capable as much, but those who have some financial capability but are not very large, between 11 and 50, usually have more agility. They can respond faster to events rather than the other one. The smallest ones, those with less than 6 employees, are the ones that don't move at all. About 76% of them didn't change, didn't increase, didn't reduce. And these companies constitute 55% of all the businesses registered in Lehigh Valley. So it is a large chunk of businesses, but not a large chunk of employment, because they hired between 1 and 6 employees. So we are looking at the larger companies that are only about 3% of all the businesses in Lehigh Valley, but they have larger employment to be the movers. What you guys have seen in your business?
It doesn't surprise me that the companies, the mid-sized companies, if you will, and up to the 50 level of employees, are growing faster. Historically, I think there's a list that comes out. It's about to be released by Lehigh Valley Business about the fastest growing companies. Mm-hmm. I know I have a customer on that list in that range that has been announced. I don't think publicly yet, but traditionally that list, when they have that recognition event, is typically companies in that size. So I think they're better positioned. They have the capital. They've been in business for some period of time. This company is a 30-plus year business. They just make that leap to the next level.
But aren't you bankers not all that interested in playing with smaller players in this game? You like the huge companies because of their asset levels and such?
I think, Cameron, I have as much interest in the small business as I do in larger companies. You look at the primary legislation that has not succeeded over the last several months is the change of the health care repeal and replace. And I think the small businesses are mostly impacted, by that type of situation, by healthcare costs. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, are a big part of what they have to contend with, or what they are unable to provide. And access to capital, as Josh said, is always leaves to that last man standing type of situation. Is the person that has the most capital and cash is the one that's most likely to grow. And that's a natural advantage to the bigger companies that they have. A lot of time, the most unique ideas are born out of the small business world to try new things. And some exceed to move into the bigger side of the world. But especially the Lehigh Valley, mm-hmm. Except for how we're evolving in the warehouse world, have been a history of the smaller creative businesses doing a lot of things differently in the marketplace. Those are the ongoing challenges they face, and why, again, you see more of an ability also for the bigger companies to attract employees is because of benefits. Yeah. and health insurance. And that has to even itself out. And I would hazard a guess some of the enthusiasm, if you point to one legislation that has not gotten done, is that particular one.
Well, get to this. You guys, as bankers, don't lend money to people who need money. You lend money to people who don't need money, who have money, right?
We lend money to people that have the ability to repay. But both my friend and friendly...
What, you expect to be paid back?
Competitor. Neil and I both work for Community Bank. So both of our firms are headquartered in eastern Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is our market. Yeah. And I don't think either one of us have over 50 branches at this point in time.
No.
So, we don't deal with publicly traded companies. We deal with companies that are privately held and headquartered in this part of the state. So that's, the up to 50 employers is a big chunk, and that's our primary market.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And quite frankly, they're the ones who need to borrow at the end of the day.
So you do lend to people
do.
Who need money,
we
too?
We do. It's an odd concept today, but we certainly do that at the end of the day.
The index of plans for future hiring dropped in July, and it's not only below its January level. Now it is even lower than last July's level. Now, this is the largest change that we have seen. Historically, we have observed our employers' hiring plans to be usually a little bit more optimistic than what they do, and our model is designed to adjust for that. But this time around, we are seeing that they are not only not optimistic, but they are even they've dropped below last July's level.
Well, that's somewhat understandable, I would think, if in the past year you've had so much hiring, you've had sort of the trifecta nationally where you have wages that are up about 2.5%, you have hours worked up, and you also have unemployment at its lowest level in about 7 years. I would think a pause is somewhat expected because you just brought so many non-farm folks on your payroll that, you know, I think seeing where this works out in terms of efficiency and the folks that you just did hire, that's not unexpected, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly.
Neil, he used a P word. Is he referring to anything like recession, or is he's saying pause?
Well, you know, I think the pause again, you know, nobody likes uncertainty. Yeah. And you know, the fear of that happening, you know, what you don't want to do is overhire and have to go the other route. So I've always looked at things with starting a new region for people's security like I have. You know, we started, you know, with me, myself, and I on this. And today we have, in all our expansion regions, 35 employees. Mm-hmm. We've carefully added employees because you want to see an incremental growth in revenue as relative to managing the expense side. Right. And I'd like to think this time we're at right now is a time that, you know, that pause is to see how individual businesses are doing and the performance with all the hirings that they've made at the end of the day. And those different things come together, create the pause, don't necessarily predict a future, future event necessarily. There's a lot of components to that that come into play. But if you look at the Lehigh Valley, by and large, the housing market is very tight. It's primarily tight because the inventory is tight, especially the new construction side. Apartment projects are leasing up very well and stabilizing, the new ones. So people are moving into the housing realm of it. And the last thing I'll just comment on, too, is relative to the retirement issue. Lehigh Valley, to the 18% over 65, has provided a lot of active adult communities because of the quality of life that the Lehigh Valley presents.
Yeah, this is also, I'm looking at some of the technologies that are coming in and thinking that are we really starting on that route, that when the economy is at this level of rapid growth, we are seeing employment is not growing as much. We don't need humans to do it anymore.
Well, you see, you know, it's about efficiency, and corporate earnings are up this year, and they have brought, you know, more folks onto their payrolls. And, you know, certainly whenever there's an opportunity for automation, I've seen in my manufacturing clients, if you've ever toured one of the DCs around here, the distribution centers, which are so prevalent, you'll see a lot of automation. And certainly that will be the direction. Well,
technically, we have actually reduced the number of payroll jobs in the Lehigh. We haven't. The Lehigh Valley has reduced the number of payroll jobs that were here by about 1,500 over the last year. So what we are looking at is as the economy is expanding, we are starting to see I have not seen this before, that in a phase of expanding economy, we are looking at a lower employment level. We have seen it in different individual industries that go in that direction. But in the general terms, when the economy grows, you usually see the employment grow as well. Nationwide, of course, we are seeing the continuation of last year's growth a little slower this year. During 2016, we were adding an average of around 200,000. Now we are adding about 180,000 to 190,000, which is still a very, very healthy numbers to be added. But we are at the seventh year of this recovery. And pause that you mentioned is one item that could conceivably come about with this, with where we are going. And that's very interesting hearing it from bankers talking about pause.
We had a real estate economist come join our banking association earlier this year, and mentioned what the most popular ages in America are right now. And I don't know if you know this or not. They're certainly millennial ages, mm-hmm. but it's 26, 27, and 25 in that order. And that gives me some optimism in terms of these folks who are just getting ready. They seem to have very much the similar values of a generation ago, which is while they like the hip urban lifestyle for a period of time, their goals seem to be let's go to the suburbs and start a family. And I think that's a lot of what's pushing home prices up, which are up nearly 5% in the Lehigh Valley, and with very tight inventory. And that's probably a bit overheated right now with from what I hear from our residential mortgage group, how competitive it is to get your offer accepted on a home.
Well, we reached the end of our first segment. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests are Neil Copland from People's Security Banks and Trust and Josh Dodd from Univest Bank and Trust Company. Okay, gentlemen, continuation of what we were discussing. We are looking at what are the banks, what banks, I'm getting stuck in the bank.
You have too many bankers
too
in
many
the room,
bankers.
Cameron. You have to be uncomfortable.
I should be, but I know both of you, so I'm, I cut you slack this time. While in April, 8 out of 10 businesses with between 51 and 100 employees were planning to increase employment. In July, that number has dropped to 5. This is a very unusual change, and it is almost across the board for most businesses that we talk to. So we are looking at a change, even though the economy is doing well, even though we are in a tight labor market. And usually in tight labor market, most businesses says that we are planning to hire more than before. But Josh, you said before that as two people moved out of your office, you guys are not hiring new people from outside to bring in. You are moving people around.
Oh, no, we're actively looking for them. So far, we've patched it up with moving somebody to administrative role, mm-hmm. and we've also been using some more consultants. But we are looking for folks definitely to replace them.
So you are planning to. Mm-hmm. So you would come part of those who plan to increase.
Yes.
Well, getting back where you were. Actually.
We're also increasing in Bethlehem. We're about to open a new branch bank on Main and Broad Street in October of this year. So we'll add some employees.
Neil, he's putting an advertising there for himself.
That was.
Now, one of the issues that are happening is a structural change that we are going through. 1979, more than half of the people who worked in Lehigh Valley worked for a manufacturer. Now, about 10%, 12% are doing that. And we had a transportation warehousing sector, which was going on but not doing much. And all of a sudden, it is increasing in an exponential form in terms of hiring new people. They're hiring a lot of truck drivers and obviously people who work in these warehouses. As we were talking during the break, there are also this notion of automation coming, that these two very areas may be subject to very serious cuts in employment. What do you see in that, Josh?
Well, in the distribution centers, for many years, over a decade, I've seen the robots, but will go up and pick the orders and go back and recharge themselves. So certainly that's, what I think you need to get out of the distribution center are the construction jobs up front. There is a fair amount of skilled labor and also materials included in these. Think about the concrete, how they pour them, mm-hmm. pour the walls on the slab and then tilt them up. So I think long term, while those positions will always be here to work in the distribution center, some automation certainly will creep in. But, I think you have to look at the valuation of the property values, the increase in those, and the property taxes for the area, and the construction jobs up front. I think that's really where the majority of that is.
We've had so much evolution over the past 30-some years since the Bethlehem Steel has gone away, in a big way. It worked its way out over a period of the last several years. But to the point of manufacturing, having to a period of time starting really in the late 80s, picking up force in the early 2000s is what felt was becoming a bedroom community for New Jersey and New York and places out of town. All the while, the Lehigh Valley was repositioning itself through the LVIP park systems, and what success we met there in becoming somewhat of a suburban service-related offices for office jobs, some of the larger employers. And now today, over the past 5-10 years, the healthcare giants that we have and so are lucky to have in the Lehigh Valley and the employment they're providing. All the while, people out of state began noticing how centrally located the Lehigh Valley is, not just between New York and Philadelphia, but to the seaboard and looking into the future. And those jobs that came in, that are coming in, are dealing with that aspect of it. There's not a tremendous amount of jobs in per building that are produced out of the whole thing. And I think we will be challenged because of automation into the future to have less coming in as they figure out other ways to do things. And I think that's what a lot of a ongoing slow growth has done for us. And it has allowed time for businesses to figure out how to further automate and in that area.
I did a calculation on the W-2s generated in Lehigh Valley. 1979, the peak of the manufacturing in Lehigh Valley. And it took until 1988, almost 10 years, for the level of W-2s issued, adjusted for inflation, to get back where it was. So basically a loss of 10 years in salaries. And a lot more people were employed in 1988 than they were in 1979. So
was there a population loss between those years?
No,
as well?
Population growth. Mm-hmm. But what it meant was that there were average salaries were a lot lower afterwards. What we are seeing in self-driving trucks, for example, and demonstration was, of course, a truck called Otto. It's spelled with O, O-T-T-O, which delivered 50,000 cans of beer over 120 mile distance. And it didn't have somebody who had a long training, years or months of training in learning how to drive a truck as a commercial driver. The guy who was sitting back there, his job basically, his training required him to be able to push the override button, pull the truck to the side, and push the help button. How many hours it takes to train that guy? And the salary differences between a professional truck driver and that person. This is one of the things we are looking. And you're talking about the walls being built, laying things on a slab and pushing it up. Think of ceilings being set by 3D printers, which also includes the wires in it as they put it in. So the changes that are coming are not matter of degree. These are now matter of kind. And we are getting to the age of Jetsons without all those jobs yet being created. Because obviously, as we are moving, new jobs will come about. In 1900, 40% of people who worked in this country worked in the agricultural sector. By 1950, that was 12%. Many of them went to those who replaced their jobs, the manufacturers who built these machines that took the place of the manual laborers on the farm. Manufacturers had a much shorter period of adjusting to the change. and their replacement is not as obvious and as fluent that you could go and just need a very little training to get into that. Now, if you want to design those motherboards and the computer design to fly the drones, now you can't just be going from working in a manufacturing to that area. It needs a lot of training. And that's what we are facing going forward. So I'm a little concerned about how fast we will adjust. Back to the index.
Okay. I'm a little concerned about driverless trucks and being on our roads. Not that 78 is perfect. There's a fair amount of truck, you know, traveling that every week, truck accidents. But it's, you know, hope they. I don't want to beta test that on my family.
That the studies on the self-driving vehicles shows that they are at least the ones that published are a lot safer, in a significant fashion than. The computer doesn't get angry if you pass him by, if you hoot your horn at him. They stay at the same speed, in the same lane. They are a lot softer drivers.
I just wonder, they must have some, and I don't know anything about how it's programmed, but they must have some sort of rules of the road where they can't leave the roadway. And if you're stuck in traffic and a truck comes barreling down to rear end you, they probably can't. The program probably won't let them go up on a vacant sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. They are very...
But it could have avoided something.
They are very... from what I read, they are very restricted. And I saw a friend at one time came to a party with a Tesla, which drove itself. And he said in town, it will not drive more than 5 miles above the speed limit. So the programming is very, very conservative. It's ultra conservative. It's just the drivers at the time get into it and push things around.
That's right.
The index of actual purchases over the last 6 months also dropped, but this one dropped more than any other index in our model, falling 6% below its April level. Still is above October, but basically all the gains due to election were wiped out. The whole thing is much of the gains after the election were basically based on hype and expectations that all of a sudden we will get all of these things happening. Healthcare, Neil mentioned, tax break, and of course the $1 trillion infrastructure deal. And people don't look at this process in the continuous fashion that the economy is. Everybody looks at one action. Economy is a circular process. If we go, for example, with a $1 trillion infrastructure bill, the first thing that it happens is that deficit will jump. You're spending $1 trillion. And people tell me, oh, this is private-public deals in many of them. That's fine. But why aren't these private companies building roads right now?
In Pennsylvania, they are. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you could, I think it would have really increased prices for any road construction. Because, you know, right now, people are really, excavators are working on roads. And you know, people that do multiple items are doing everything right now. And
but as you add the $1 trillion, the new ones that want to come in, they need an incentive, which means either you are spending the money directly as government spends money or gives them tax breaks so it receives less. Mm-hmm. So the end result is the same, that deficit will jump significantly, at least at the beginning. Any economist you talk to tell you that infrastructure jobs and projects pay for themselves over time. They have the highest multiplier effect, highest spread effect. But initially, if government spends it, it will create deficit. That means it will be higher interest rate. It will goes through the whole process. Mm-hmm. The turn will be that the businesses who are borrowing also all of a sudden will see that the interest rate at which they're borrowing gonna go up. So it may not. The whole benefit may not be there because it will be some of it would be used. So we are looking at also our plans for future expenditures. And in that, we are seeing that there is even more cuts coming up. For example, in April, 62% of local businesses between 6 and 10 employees were planning to increase their expenditures. That number dropped to 22% in July. Basically, across the board, everybody cut back on that process. And that is that's an issue. What have you seen, Neil, in that?
Well, again, I think it just comes back to the enthusiasm that came out of the election and the desire to really take a chance and put capital at risk into the marketplace and prepare for big things is dissipating, or even according to the survey, is dissipated altogether. And I, you know, I'm personally not quite there in the sense, you know, with that situation. I think, you know, as it pertains specifically to the Lehigh Valley, we've had a lot of activity overall in the marketplace. The jobs that have been created are bringing some newer opportunities in with some of the businesses that are looking at that. And I think coming up, there's going to be some bigger announcements that are coming out relative to some bigger space that is currently vacant to be taken as office space into the future. Hopefully that will come to fruition relative to that. So these are the things that, you know, I think, you know, give you the hope that there's going to be continued investment, you know, into the future, particularly to the Lehigh Valley. But, you know, you just the sense is really setting in over the last 30 to 45 days that, you know, to what Josh has said earlier, it's back to the same old.
Yeah. What about you, Josh?
I'll say in the months of November and December, and it's probably the same at Neil's shop, it was crazy. It was difficult to get off between the holidays. There was just so much business. The first half of this year, right up to June 30th, was, I've been in banking for 18 years, the busiest I've ever seen it. I've seen more businesses as usual in the months of July and August. Definitely, it's more, you know, where the first half of the year was net new project, it has been the last 2 months, at least for me, and 2 months, I don't know, makes a trend, has been, you know, old bank, new bank. So just replacing what was already out there. But a lot of new projects since you know, November of last year, and certainly that carried through the first half of 2017.
Neil, you told me you've seen a drop in restaurant business in the Valley.
It's just been so with some of our customers commented, you know, over the summer about less activity, that there some food sales are down, and you know, they're figuring it out. You know, there's probably two. One thing is that competition has increased significantly with all the new living spaces we have in the Lehigh Valley, whether it's downtown Allentown with all the good things that are happening in Easton and South Bethlehem and the core of Bethlehem. There's been a lot of new restaurants coming into the marketplace.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Which I think have could have a percentage of it. One of my customers commented the fact is the staycation over with? That we've gone through so many years of not going on vacation, you know, is the improvement of the economy in such a way that people have now taken vacations this year. And that brings its own degree of economics to it, because just like the holidays, there's a period when the kids go back to school that everybody has to let their budget restabilize in their home. To deal with the vacation. So that'll be interesting to see as we work our way into September.
One thing that I'm considering is home builders. We touched on it just for a moment in the first section, Cameron, which was, you know, we're talking about how overheated the housing market is for existing sales. And I think you mentioned, what was the number, 25 permits for new housing starts.
How slow is on the other section. Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's a timing where people are concerned rates are going to increase. I don't think that's really a concern now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was maybe in the spring buying season. Mm-hmm. But there isn't much of an explanation as why new homes starts are so low. Now, certainly there's the tariff that's imposed on the softwood lumber from Canada, which was new for this year. And I'm wondering, just being around long enough to remember Katrina And the gypsum prices that increased after that. So maybe with Harvey, that's going to be sort of a double whammy on home builders where, you know, as they rebuild the Central South.
Okay, we have to continue this on the next section. Sure. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.
In 2017, WDIY is celebrating 22 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit wdiy.org or call 610-694-8100. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY, and my guests this evening are Neil Copeland from People's Security Bank and Josh Dodd from Univest Bank and Trust. Gentlemen, before we went to the break, we were talking about the housing market in the Lehigh Valley and why it is slow. And Neil, you were talking about some of the reasons for it.
Yeah, one of the major challenges why you only have 25 permits is availability of land for residential purposes is way down. It's a lot more difficult today to take a raw piece of land and work its way through the approval process and deliver it into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And number one, it's more difficult to do that. We've turned into where there was a big gap between New Jersey and Pennsylvania, where it would take 7 to 10 years to get a project approved in New Jersey. In the Lehigh Valley, it was 1 year to 2 years. We've worked our way in some cases to 3, 4, and 5 years, and you see more and more in the paper, subdivisions are being battled in the courts versus within the municipalities. Mm-hmm. That's driving costs up, and we have not seen that increase in the end product cost of houses. So the home builders who have the capital to go forward and do it are going to go after the opportunities that get them to the market quickest. And, you know, and then the other thing, too, is the availability of water and sewer. We went through in the early 2000s where well and septics, and which was a lot of what we had north of 22, mm-hmm. was very acceptable. People want to be, to your point of the millennials, they want to be closer to the urban core and things than today. So what it presents for us into the future is opportunities to redevelop areas of our cities to be good places for our millennials to be. And then the second thing is to figure out what the next generation is going to want to do and be able to plan for that, because that's an ongoing problem.
Yeah, most of the studies shows that the new generations don't follow the previous ones. They don't want to necessarily, after graduating from college, get married and go to the suburb and buy a house there. And they are moving a lot more inward and into town, and we are looking even at the number of car sales, which is for the first time again in a growth period. We are looking at the number of car sales per 100 people is dropping, and that I have not seen in any time other than recessions, because we love our cars and we want to buy. But if you are moving to urban centers, then having a car is a lot more expensive in terms of where you park it and not as necessary. And think about it. If we get to the point of having real self-driving vehicles around, you really don't need a car. You will buy an old used 2017, refurbish it and use it for going on vacation or some weekends driving. But if we want to go to your office, you call a driverless Uber to come and pick you up. And particularly if you want to go to dinner, you definitely call one of those. So then you don't have to be worried driving back that, oh, did I have one drink or two drinks?
I've actually seen some of the aging millennials' habits changing, where they don't want to be in the urban center. They don't want the Soho flat or downtown flat. Once they get married and start to have children, they're tending to follow more traditional values with their home selections.
Oh, what's good.
You know, moving to the suburbs as they get older.
And that's coming a lot later than historically my generation did. Mm-hmm. You know, buy a house was the first lot. I was 23 years old, which was 4 years ago. And and we bought our first house at 23. And, that's not the case today. That's, in the greater Delaware Valley, in Philadelphia, some of the millennials are wanting to be in downtown Philadelphia, renting near Rittenhouse Square, and then taking the train to work out in King of Prussia or in Fort Washington. So there's almost a reverse commute going on right now that we won't experience tremendously here necessarily, because though I think we're trying to do a lot to address, to make our downtowns a very great place to live and work.
And like you, Neil, I built my first house a couple years out of college at 23, and my second house I built at 33. And I think it's unfortunate that you don't see the level of new construction, because all of the subs that, you know, work on a project to put a home up really are local jobs. And if you look at, you know, I thought I had a good handle on just how many subs, and I felt good about how many different trades were working on my home. And then I moved in, and the very last thing to get installed is your mailbox. I opened my mailbox the first day I got mail, and I saw a label. There's a company in the area that all they do is mailboxes. So there was another sub. And it's a shame that we don't have incentives for this because of all the jobs associated. And then, you know, once you either buy or build a house, all the things that you do once you move in. I mean, you have to buy a garbage can. You have to buy appliances. These are all heavy things that you can make them and put them on a container to bring to our country. But it's a lot easier to make them here because they're heavier.
Yeah. Housing, Mark, housing has such a spread effect in terms of so many different industries that it touches. But this automation is something that now even the Chinese are facing with, and are going through those experiences that we have gone the last decade. They are slowly starting to see it because it has become so much cheaper that how much you are willing to continue and not have that profit made, because at one time it becomes you can't compete then in the global market. We asked businesses about their revenues over the last 6 months. Basically, we saw a slight increase in revenues. However, one of the things we observed is that overall, the trend of expectations of revenues in the future is starting to decline very slightly. But the things that are of interest are that back in April, when we asked companies that what kind of revenue they expect, many of, on average they were saying 7-8%. Now they're saying 5 or 6%. Excuse me. What do you think, Josh?
Well, I think it's still a positive number, and I think it's not always about how much you make; it's how much you keep. And as we typically see in the fall, we see CapEx tick up. And this year it was early; it was in the first quarter where we had a whole lot of capital expenditures to get ahead and really mobilize and be prepared for the growth that was expected. And the growth did come. What you typically see is companies evaluate their profitability as we go into especially the fourth quarter. And I think with some of the lead times to purchase equipment and make those capital expenditures, in the pre-recession days, you could really wait. You could order place your orders for capital equipment in October and get them filled for year end and reduce your tax liability. Mm-hmm. Well, equipment dealers aren't keeping inventory like they used to. Uh-huh. So now you have to plan a little bit sooner, or you may be in jeopardy of not getting it delivered in the current year. So companies are going through that right now. If you want to order a piece of equipment, you're evaluating, you're figuring out where you think your projection is for profitability at year end, and you're placing those orders, in a lot of cases, September.
Mm. Neil?
Well, I'm just thinking, like I said, doing more with less. It's part of the world of business is also how to do less more with less revenue to a degree. And I think in a lot of ways, businesses have to have figured out ways to continue to be that lean and mean side of thing the best they can. Mm-hmm. Have to be tight. They learned that out of the Great Recession. So that revenues might come down, but they're able to maintain their profits. And I've seen some cases profits actually improve.
Yes.
And I think the Great Recession also taught a lot of sectors that, you know, and this is what we're seeing here, is that, you know, we've got to be out ahead of a potential change in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have too much inventory. Fair. Whereas some businesses would keep all the inventory they needed technology-wise. If they're in a technology sales business, mm-hmm. they would have a large amount of technology inventory. Today, they almost get it on demand. It doesn't sit on the shelf long because that can become outdated very quickly.
Right.
As well as number two, the second thing that can happen to it is that, you know, you get caught in one of these market changes when it comes to the economy shifting in a different direction. And I think in a lot of ways it is. And Josh is exactly right on ordering new equipment. That has gotten a lot further. But also, I'm going to use his word, there's a pause in the sense on their willingness to before they make that decision to buy that equipment.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing as well. Some dissatisfaction with expectations not being met, and people say, okay, now I'm going to pull back and wait. Now, one of the other interesting things is that University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index also started to drop this year, and that was very unusual because a part of that index is one of the stock market, which is going up, housing values, which are going up, and people expect that they will have they will keep their jobs. They expect inflation to be low. So basically, factors that goes with that are there. But now we are seeing, despite of those factors, it is dropping. Now, for example, expectations of future fell from 90 to 80. Now, still 80 is a pretty good indicator, but the fact that it dropped 10 points is a large part. And the head of the research at University of Michigan as Consumer Sentiment Index, Dr. Curtin, wrote a very interesting thing that he said he has never seen a partisanship plays such a large role in expectations about economics, that the difference between expectation between Democrats and Republicans is 45 point. Now, the whole thing is not that large. So effectively, one expects a boom, the other expects a recession. And in contrast, of course, those who are independents are exactly in the middle of those two. However, very interestingly, he continues and refers that the partisanship gap has narrowed in the last 6 months, mostly due to the Republicans tempering their optimism. So that optimism that went up is coming down. And that is very interesting to see. This is not the two sides meeting in the middle. It is basically that huge optimism that came out and people thinking, okay, now I'm going to keep a lot more of my my earned money. I paid less taxes. There will be infrastructure expenditure. So everything would be great. Well, maybe not. And that maybe not is the part that we are looking here. And of course, we are looking and again talking about Josh's pause, the seventh year of a recovery. And the difference, of course, is that this was also concurrent with an election of a new president, which is who is also totally different from the all the previous presidents that at least I remember. And that goes 100 years at least, 120. But this is where we are stuck, so to speak. But the stock market's still going up, Josh. What's with that?
So political volatility aside, the fact that when you talk about the consumer, the fact that wages have increased for the first time that's been meaningful and that unemployment is at the lowest point, I think the anecdotally, Neil alluded to people taking vacations. As I talk to people, it has been very difficult to get people on the phone in the months of July and August of this year. And I think I've seen something, although I can't place it, but I think after the consumer deleveraged during these past 7 years of recessionary period, I think I've seen reports where the consumer borrowings have actually increased. So that means that people are feeling, you know, more stable about their options for employment. I think you really have to wait till the end of the year to tell. The holidays are a big time where you get an idea of the retail pulse and where consumers are at. I will say automobiles this year and last year have been back to, you know, normal periods. Now, some of that was expected as people weren't replacing and patching up their cars a little bit longer. But you've had really two good years, and I have an auto dealer as a client. They looking at their numbers year over year, they're growing. They're building a new dealership.
They're very good. The rub of it is that per capita, we are buying fewer cars than we used to buy before.
Consumer sentiment, it's hard to gauge with given the employment in the stock market, but I'm going to still just point to a couple of things is, you know, how many people that have jobs are underemployed and are not necessarily seeing the salary growth that they want to see. At the end of the day, is that causing them to pull back a little bit again? And I'm going to go back to the fact that the repeal and replace, that we have not solved the health care issue. You know, we could have higher employment, but if we have higher health costs and less being covered by employees, is this a timing issue that they're saying, you know, that there was hope that this was going to be resolved and that hope now is dashed? We don't quite know the answer to that at this point. Everything points to more utilization of consumer credit, more activity. People have been very confident who've been into the marketplace on home mortgages too. As you've stated, Josh, that, you know, we've seen a big difference this year in that area versus year over year the last 2 years. So the confidence, is there. How much of it is going to continue to wane? And when the next survey comes out, you know, what is going to tell us a lot, I think, you know, relative whether we're at a trend here in heading, continue to build in that direction.
That's very true. One of the things we have, of course, observed is that after the election, interest rates went up to 70 basis points from before. They have given up about 20 basis of that back. So, again, those expectations of that kind of rapid event are going. And the interest rate market for me has always been a very, very good marker. When it comes to money and bankers like yourselves, guys, we talk about stuff. You guys talk about actual real green things that worth something. So we are at a point where optimism is gone. Josh, what do you think the next 6 months going to be?
Yeah, so I'm surprised interest rates came up so late in the program with two bankers. But I will say I've successfully dodged the prediction of the stock market, so I guess I'll take this one head on and say that we did have the three rate increases since December of last year, but the 10-year Treasury is still very low at 2.2%. Indications are with a few Fed meetings left this year, I think September, October, and December. Don't want to second guess the Fed, but likely, if at all, it'll be December is what consensus seems to be.
One more rate, yeah.
I guess the wild card would be really North Korea, and not to give them too much of the spotlight. But, you know, if you see a flight to quality, gold and treasuries, that could continue to hold rates down if you have a flight to safety with uncertainty.
Neil, 30 seconds.
30 seconds. We're dealing with really a pretty well flat yield curve. With the increases in interest rates, which, you know, puts pressure for people to want to get a better return on savings accounts. And in the same light, you can see where the treasuries are and the expectation to fix rates at a longer period of time. Again, I'll just say the next 6 months will lead us to more questions into the future. But my expectation is we're going to be about the same, you know, over the next period in this area.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you very much. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.